wants to volunteer. One of the specific things they need is presenters for the Wordless book. We've had that training here. It's very good training. And he's offering it again coming up this coming Tuesday, August the 6th, at Grace Baptist Church, and that's in Greensboro. If you wanted to take the training and you couldn't make it to the spectacular, that's still okay. The training is very good. I recommend, you know, just going and getting the training, the Wordless book training. If you wanted to participate in the spectacular on that day and you wanted to be a presenter, definitely see me as soon as possible. Lord willing, Mike could provide transportation. We could meet here. It's about 40 minutes from here to get down there. More good news, if you volunteered for the Winston-Salem Good News Spectacular a couple months back, if you participate in that, you do not have to fill out any more paperwork. It's already on file, and it's been less than a year, so you can just go and volunteer. They still need volunteers for other things like rides, inflatables, and things like that. So see me as soon as possible. It's kind of a tight deadline. I do apologize. We're only 3 weeks away. But and, of course, if you wanted to do the Wordless book training, that's coming up in a couple days, less than a week. So see me, and I'm told Chris I'd get back with him as soon as I could with a number of people, volunteers. If you don't know anything about the Good News Spectacular at all, come see me. I can tell you all I know about it. You can ask one of our teens here. Most of these guys volunteered and helped out in it last year or a couple months ago and the times prior to that. It's a very good ministry. Presents the gospel to kids that might not otherwise, you know, get a chance to hear it. So there again, if you want to participate, please see me as soon as possible. Open in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we are able to gather here to study your word tonight. Father, I ask you to hide me behind the cross, Father. Father, I pray that this message is the message that you want to be heard tonight, Father. We thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. We ask you to bless this time. For us to draw nearer to him, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to start turning in your Bibles to the book of James, we're going to be looking at James chapter 4. In this chapter, James is dealing with a problem that we still face today. It's the problem of quarrels and conflicts in the church. But James is not specifically, he's not trying to solve specific problems, but he's trying to get to the heart of the problem, the root of the problem. He's pointing out the main cause of the problem of these quarrels and fights. So we'll begin reading in verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasure that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. This reminds me of King David and Bathsheba. King David, a man after God's own heart, is supposed to be off at war with his men, but for some reason he stayed back at the palace. One night he was walking around on the rooftop, and he happened to look out, and he saw a woman. And he saw that she was beautiful, and he desired to have her. He asked about her, found out she was married, but that didn't stop him. He still sent for her. And she came to him, they lied together, and she became pregnant. He understood he had sinned, and he knew the consequences of his sin. comes up with an elaborate plan to try to cover up his sin. He sends for Uriah to be brought home from battle so he can sleep with his wife and make it seem like the child was actually Uriah's, Bathsheba's husband. The scheme failed, though, because Uriah, being a dedicated soldier, he said he couldn't do it. He couldn't go and lie with his wife and eat, and while all the men were out in the field, camped out, it just was not what he didn't feel it was the right thing to do. So David tries again the next day, but this time he gets him drunk. He says, go lie with your wife. But again, Uriah refuses. He doesn't do it. And he tells him, I just can't do that. It's not what I'm going to do. Finally, when all else fails, David arranges for him, Uriah, to be sent to the front line where the fighting is the fiercest. And Uriah is struck down and killed. After Bathsheba mourned for a few days, David sent for her, and she came to him and became his wife, and they bore a son. Then this is the last part of 2 Samuel 11:27, we read this. But the thing that David had done was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Maybe David thought he got away with it, until Nathan the prophet rebukes him and tells him how angry God was with him. He tells him that the sword will never depart from his house. He tells him that the Lord will raise up evil against him from inside his own household. David did not lose his salvation, but for the rest of his days, for the rest of his days, he would have to face the consequences of his sin. Now, if you're like me, I don't have the authority to send someone off into battle to have them killed. But if I decide to follow my flesh instead of the Spirit, I have to face the same consequences. And when we let our flesh, our lust of the flesh, control our decisions, it not only affects us, but just like David, it affects those who are closest to us. James says, you lust and you do not have, so you do everything within your sin nature to acquire. That's the power of sin in the flesh. James goes on in verse 2. You are envious and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You are envious and cannot obtain. King James puts it this way. You desire to have and cannot obtain. To desire something is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, the same word for desire is used in 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul writes, to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. It's good to desire spiritual things. But their desire was feeding their own pleasures, and they lost their focus on God. They desired something and didn't get it, and they were willing to do whatever it took to get it. The issue was they were asking with the wrong motives, asking out of a desire to satisfy the flesh. Maybe like you and I, they realized that they knew God would not give them the desire of the flesh, but they still wanted it. And maybe sometimes they asked God for something and made it seem like their desire was to please God, but really it was their own selfish gain they were after, and they knew God, and God knew that. God cannot be deceived. They wanted to satisfy the flesh, but they wanted it satisfied with the appearance of the Spirit. They wanted it both ways, and this caused a serious problem. In James 4, and 5, we read about that. You adulteresses, you do not know that, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. For do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. We read in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Either you're a friend of God and an enemy of the flesh, or a friend of the flesh and an enemy of God. Being an enemy of God is no joke. In the parable of the tares in Matthew 13, Jesus tells us about an enemy who came and sowed tares among the wheat. Later in verse 39, he goes on to explain that the enemy that came and sowed the tares among the wheat was the devil. The Greek word for enemy it's used in the parable is also the same Greek word that James uses here. Words like enemy and adulteresses show the severity of the situation. James also reminds us and them that we serve a jealous God who desires that we love Him and be solely devoted to Him. He wants us to give up our prideful ways and completely rely on Him. That's why he says in verse 6, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The good news is, God wants us to come back to Him. When we wander off the path, when we follow our own lustful desires, God wants to welcome us back. And He gives us the grace to do that if we humble ourselves to Him. James shows us what that looks like in verse 7. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. How do we submit to God? By being obedient and doing what He commands us to do. How do we know what He wants us to do? We read and study His Word. Also, knowing God's Word will help us when Satan attacks us. We need to be prepared. We need to know God's Word. We have the same quarrels, we have the same conflicts today as they did back then. We have the same desires to satisfy our flesh. We ask with the same wrong motives, and we can get caught in the same snares as they did. But thankfully, we have the same solution.